Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Topi Jana Valaba Irivaradari. Topi Jana Valaba Irivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Valaba Girivaradari. Gopi Jana Valaba Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Baladev Jaya Jaya Subhadra Nithai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nithai Gaura Haribo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivragacharya Asta Parashtada Shri Srimati Divine Grace of Sri Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Padaya Paramahamsa Parivragacharya Asta Parashtada Shri Srimati Divine Grace of Sri Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Prinda Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj Ki Jai. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the symbol of devotees. All glories to the symbol of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, verses 58 to 59. Iti Nanda Daya Gopaha Krishna Rama Kathamuda Kurvanto Rama Manascha Navindan Bhava Vedanam Iti Nandadaya Gopaha Krishna Rama Katha Muda Kurvanto Rama Manascha Navindan Bhava Vedanam Iti Nandadaya Gopaha Krishna Rama Katha Muda Kurvanto Rama Manascha Navindan Bhava Vedanam Inandadaya Gopaha Krishna Rama Katha Muda Kurvanto Rama Manascha Avindan Baba Vedanam Dinandadaya Gopaha Krishna Rama Katha Muda Kurvanto Rama Manascha Avindan Bhava Vedanam Dinandadaya Gopaha Krishna Rama Katha Muda Kurvanto Rama Manascha Avindan Bhava Vedanam. Thank you for chanting. Word by word translation of this beautiful verse. Iti. In this way. Nanda Adayaha. All the cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj. Gopaha. Cowherd man, Krishna Rama Katham, narration of incidents in connection with Bhagavan Krishna and Rama. Muda, in great transcendental pleasure. Kurvantaha, doing that. Ramanaha cha, enjoyed life and increased their affection for Krishna. Na, not. Avindan, perceived. Bhava Vedanam, the tribulation of material existence. Translation. In this way, the cowherd man, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive the material tribulations. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here is an instruction about the result of studying or discussing the Krishna Lilas that appear in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadhya hrdi avarundhyate tra kritibih sushru shubish tat kshanat. Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, 1, Verse 2. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and Vrindavan appeared like ordinary persons of this material world, but they never felt the tribulations of this world, although they sometimes met many dangerous situations created by the demons. This is a practical example. If we follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj and the Gopas, we can all be happy simply by discussing the activities of Krishna. Anartha Pashamama Sakshad Bhakti Yoga Madhaksaja Rakashi Shya Janato Vidvams Chakra Satvata Samhitam Bhagavatam 176. Vyasadeva has given this literature so that everyone may understand one's transcendental position simply by discussing Bhagavad Katha. Even at the present moment, everyone everywhere can be happy and free from material tribulations by following Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no need of austerities and penances, which in this age are very difficult to perform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore declared, Sharvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. By our Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam so that anyone in any part of the world can be absorbed in the Krishna consciousness movement by chanting and hearing about the activities of Krishna and be free from all material tribulations. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Verse 59. Just read the English translation. In this way, Krishna and Balaram passed their childhood age in Vrajabhumi by engaging in activities of childish play, such as playing hide and seek, constructing a make-believe bridge on the ocean, and jumping here and there like monkeys. And this completes chapter 11 of Canto 10. And Srila Prabhupada's purports. Thank you very much for coming this morning. I'm very happy that you're here for the class. Like I mentioned, this completes chapter 11. Quite a few things happened in this chapter. The cowherd, the village moved from one side of the Vrindavan to the other side. They moved because they were afraid that Krishna will be in danger, so they moved a few forests the other way, trying to protect Krishna. Krishna killed a few demons, and here in this verse describes how cowherd men enjoyed talking about Krishna. They could not even perceive material tribulations. So what I get from this verse and the purport is at least three things that are very important. First of all, the fact that we chant about Krishna, chant his name, chant about his pastimes, doing it as a service to Krishna and bring him pleasure, and we also perceive some transcendental pleasure, more or less, depending on our level of bhakti. We are getting purified to feel more and more love for Krishna, and we do not need to worry so much about penances and austerities. In this age of Kali, it is very difficult to perform severe austerities. Our goal and our means of success, chanting about Krishna's pastimes and hearing his name, is the same as our goal. the means, the goal and the means are the same. Another thing that I'd like to mention that's in this, so I get from this purport, is that we deepen our understanding about Krishna, deepen our realization by chanting. Chanting and hearing is number one instruction, and our main tool that we use to progress and to serve Krishna, chanting and hearing. And there are quite a few more, but these are the most essential ones. What is the difference between the chanting and hearing of Krishna's pastimes between the advanced pure devotees that the cowherd men and women are, and the difference between our chanting and hearing? The difference is in the quality that many practicing devotees, including myself, lack. We lack the quality, the taste, and sometimes it is very hard to complete our vows of chanting and reading about Krishna. So in this lecture, I'd like to take the opportunity to talk about some obstacles in attentive chanting. One of them is inattentiveness, and it's also translated as negligence, pramada. So in general, let me remind myself and refresh my own memory. There are 10 main offenses that devotees like to avoid, they must avoid to be successful on the path of Bhakti Yoga. And I reviewed them last night, so hopefully I remember, or you can help me out if I forget. I think the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their life to the propagating of Krishna's holy name, Krishna Consciousness Movement. And the second offense is to consider the names of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma, and the other demigods to be the same or equal to the name of Lord Vishnu. The third offense is to disobey the orders of your spiritual master. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, or scriptures that are written in pursuance of the Vedic version. That's the fourth one. And the fifth one, I think it's to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna in imagination. Sixth is to give some interpretation on the holy name. And the seventh is to commit offenses on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and thinking that we keep going with our sinful activities, but the name, the holy name, will erase them, and we can just keep going like that. We don't have to change our lives. So that's the seventh and offense. The eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna one of the auspicious activities. Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Offered as karma kanda, fruitive activities. So consider it, the chanting of Hare Krishna the same. And then the ninth, I think, is to instruct faithless. Thank you. Because some people are not ready to hear instructions, deeper instructions on the and the chanting of the holy name. For them, is enough is taking the prasadam and maybe hear some chanting by the devotees, but they don't have to know more at their level, so we don't have to instruct them, otherwise they may blaspheme us and blaspheme the holy name. And the 10th offense is to maintain. Yes. Perfect. Krishna Prema. Thank you, Prema. It's perfect. Yeah, I'm struggling here. I just reviewed them last night. Make sure I say them in order. But thank you so much. So we have the 10 offenses, and one of them is I'd like to focus on today is the pramada, or an attentive chanting. And it is said in Sri Harinam Chintamani by Harinam Chintamani, it is stated that this pramada, or negligence, inattentive chanting is not the most serious offense, but it is the most common for sure, and we will never taste the sweetness of the holy name if we keep committing that offense again and again. So our sadhana bhakti will be, the natural growth of the bhakti kripa will be restricted. So there are three ways. Attentiveness is divided into three parts that Sri Harinam Chintamani explains. One of them is of dasinya, or apathetic devotional service. It's more like you don't feel like doing it, and you're doing it. Ma chanting, you're doing the chanting more or less on mechanically, and we're not inspired, so our spirit, our mind is not quite there. It gets easily shifted, the mind's attention is easily shifted. There's a lack of resolve in our sadhana, so apathetic devotional service. There are two ways to go about fixing it, and what I'd like to do today is use chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita as a background to try to see how we can get a little bit more motivation and a little bit more energy. Put it more energy and attention into our chanting. As you may remember, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6 that there are quite a few steps in the process of Ashtanga Yoga. And in the beginning, it is very good to focus on the work. So I'll just give you a little bit of background on this, and then we can apply it to our chanting in the process of bhakti yoga. In the traditional process of Ashtanga yoga, there are the external means and the internal means of advancement. The internal, external means are rules and regulations. Proper action, proper motivation, not doing certain things, you know, like stealing and swearing, proper motivation, proper aim in life, and proper action. So yamas and niyamas. And bhakti yogis also do have that. We have the four regulative principles. So we are not doing certain things, and it helps to keep the goal. The goal, proper goal in our minds and hearts. So these are the first two steps of Ashtanga Yoga, the external means, and then there's also the asana part, the physical postures, and pranayama, the breathing process. So So Bhakti Yoga also has something like that. We don't focus on that. We have the kirtan and jumping. So we have some kind of exercise as well. And when we get a little bit out of breath, you know, we breathe harder. We dance for Krishna and jump. So we also have some of these activities. They may not look exactly the same as yoga asanas, but they are. And so once again, we have the regulations, what to do, what not to do, more external, no meat eating, no intoxication, and staying with devotees. And then we go more into the internal steps that we perform daily. We have the hearing about Lord Krishna, we have the hearing of the holy name, reading about Lord Krishna, which constitutes more of an internal meditation. So these are the internal limbs or steps of our yoga process, the most important ones. However, we don't take care of the first four, which is the proper rules and regulations, the proper balance for the body and mind, exercise and proper breathing. We may not do very well in the internals, performing the internal steps of our Bhakti Yoga process. So there is the internal steps are meditation on Krishna, deepening our focus on the holy name, completely absorbing ourselves in the holy name, and finally reaching that transcendental feeling of love, total absorption or samadhi. So you can see many overlaps and commonalities between the traditional Ashtanga Yoga process and the Bhakti Yoga process. After you complete the four steps, or you become very proficient in the first four steps, the internal practices of Ashtanga Yoga become easier, withdrawing the senses from external material objects. And focusing more on the meditation, on the super soul within the heart, which many Ashtanga Yogis perform. And meditating, dhyan, meditating on that form of the Lord in the heart. And finally, complete absorption in the Lord. So there are two ways to improve or break through the apathetic devotional service. And the first tool that is useful here, and that is more useful than the other one that will be mentioned later, is simply by increasing our sadhu sangha, or association with devotees. Many times our chanting and practice in the morning program may not be very, we may not be very enthused, and when we chant we may not be very focused, and we may lack the energy to focus even. Somehow we lack the energy to focus even. So we need to obtain that inspiration and drive from those who already have it, and we associate daily with devotees. Sadhu Sangha, it really helps to get our own enthusiasm up, so we can break through this apathetic devotion, apathetic mood, in which it's very hard to execute the chanting in the morning program. Many devotees that I know of, they cannot make it too often to the temple. They maybe come once a week, including myself, or maybe even less frequently, and it's very hard for them to get that quality sadhu sangha. So we also organize, some devotees live farther away from the temple, they organize different meetings, bhakti vriksha meetings and programs that make it easier for those devotees who live farther away from the temple to actually still meet with other devotees in the suburbs, more remote areas. So that is very helpful to do. If for some reason you cannot get the quality Sadhu Sangha daily, it is very good to read Srimad Bhagavatam daily, because Srimad Bhagavatam describes the pastimes of Lord Krishna and his devotees. So we can associate with Lord Krishna and the devotees in this way. And the mind is generally very attracted to the stories and personalities and great feats and great actions, performances they did, and so it's quite natural. So if we have a hard time chanting and we lack the energy and motivation, let us read Srimad Bhagavatam daily at home, and in this way we associate with the devotees of Lord Krishna through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is none different from Lord Krishna. It's none different from Lord Krishna. This is the higher understanding. Whether you understand it deeply or not, if you read the stories about Lord Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam and about his devotees, you will be able to break through your apathetic devotional mood and feel more enthusiasm. Also, what is very helpful is to take care of Srimati Tulsi Devi at home and do a daily bhajan, daily puja of Tulsi Devi. In this way, we increase the association, daily association of devotees, and break through that apathy, and we feel more enthusiasm when we chant. I know myself, when I start chanting, before I start chanting, I sometimes do Tulsi Puja, and it really helps the mood of feeling enthusiastic about the second part, which is chanting. So, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, and worshipping Tulsi Devi, these are some of the more internal processes, but they are performed externally, but they are more internal, and they really help to break through that mood. Otherwise, you may spend a lot of time trying to bring the mind back to the holy name, and then the mind goes away, and then you bring it back and it goes away, so you spend a lot of your energy, which is very much appreciated, but you spend a lot of energy fighting the mind instead of actually focusing on the holy name and meditating on the holy name. So to make the battle a little bit easier, we should increase the association to increase our enthusiasm and energy for chanting in the morning. The second part of the Pramada offense, or inattentiveness, or also known as negligence, is jadya, or inertia, or laziness. And here, some of the external processes of Ashtanga Yoga can help the Bhakti Yogis. The first part was audacinya, and the internal processes would help to break through that mood of apathy, associating with devotees, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Tulsi Devi. As far as inertia, and also translated as laziness, I found some of the exercises of Ashtanga Yoga, asanas and some pranayam, very helpful in combating that inertia or laziness. Sometimes, especially when it's winter time, we like to, you know, everything is dark. Even you wake up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., you know, most people are sleeping at that time anyway, and sometimes it's a little bit cold, it's winter time, you know. So it's not a very conductive time to wake up at 3 or 4 a.m. and, you know, jump up from bed and start chanting enthusiastically. It is hard to do. So many devotees, including myself, feel that inertia or laziness, I usually think like, oh, you know, maybe I should stay in bed for another hour. But I know if I stay in bed for another hour, I will be another, I won't be able to complete my 16 rounds. Maybe I'll do half. So it is easy to make the decision sometimes, you know, when you're in bed and you want to stay a little bit longer. And sometimes we stay, you know, we show up late for chanting or for the morning program and we miss parts of it. And then we try to complete the rounds during the day, and that is not so effective. Although we do complete it, most devotees do complete the rounds later during the day, but you can get the most benefit from your chanting if you complete right away in the morning. So that inertia that we feel in the morning should not stop us. And the way that I use to combat the inertia is to apply some of the asanas from Ashtanga Yoga. So these asana is the third step of the traditional yoga system, and Ayurvedic medical scriptures, and which use yoga as one of the therapeutic tools, utilize some of the asanas to actually increase energy and remove lethargy and laziness from the mind, to give you a little glimpse into the science of Ayurveda and yoga. Let me mention that there are five airs within your body, and some of them are responsible for digestion, some of them are responsible for removing subtle and gross toxins from the system, and some of the airs, or vayus they're called, are responsible for distributing energy evenly through your body. Sometimes you wake up and you have cold hands and feet, and if you do the proper asana, you'll be able to feel warm in the hands and feet, and it'll be much easier for you to perform your chanting when you're warmer. Obviously, you know, sometimes it doesn't work this way. Sometimes if you're too warm, you want to fall asleep. But also the yoga teaches you to keep your spine straight. If you keep your spinal column straight, then the oxygen and blood will go to the brain nicely, and then you'll feel more energized and attentive. So the five airs in your body are very much constricted in the morning. So if you do perform proper asana and you wake them up, distribute them evenly, you feel more alert and you will not feel lethargic at all. So I don't wish to spend too much time on this kind of presentation, but there are three poses that I use to combat inertia and laziness from the mind and body that I found useful. And they are the runner's stretch, warrior one stretch, and also standing sun god stretch. I do have a couple handouts here, so I didn't make too many. I don't know how many devotees will show up today, so I don't want to do a, it's not my purpose to do a demo here of the stances, but these stances, you have seen them before, and you can easily spend just a few minutes to do them before you're chanting. After you take a shower, do your poses, asanas, and then even though you spend a few minutes here, you will gain, because you will be alert and you won't feel lazy. And then these poses are once again the standing sun god stretch, runner's stretch, part of the Surya Namaskar and sun salutation, and also warrior one, Virabhadrasana. So these are some handouts here I will give you at the end. You can use these poses to to get a quickly energized, quick fix, instead of coffee, which devotees don't use. So this yoga asana is very helpful. Another quick method that's used in the process of Ashtanga yoga comes under the heading of pranayama, or breathing exercises. And there are many types of breathing exercises that you can use to energize your mind and get rid of this inertia and laziness in the mind and be more energized for the chanting. And the form of pranayama that's recommended before meditation, before chanting, is alternate nostril breathing, which I have mentioned a couple of weeks ago. You can look it up easily. I will not give you a demo or anything like that, but you can look it up. Alternate nostril breathing, and you perform it for 2 to 3 minutes. So what it does for you, as I mentioned, there are 5 types of air in your body, and one of the main seats of those airs is in your head. And your head and your brain are very important in how you receive the mantra, how it goes and goes into your mind and heart. So you have to have a very alert and energized brain and calm mind and brain to hear the mantra properly. So the alternate nostril breathing, what it does for you, it harmonizes the 5 types of vayus, 5 types of air within your head, and you'll be able to keep the mind still, or more still than ever before, and you will be able to feel enough energy so you'll not be falling asleep. You will not be apathetic, and you feel enthusiastic. It will help you. So once again, this is an external limb of Ashtanga yoga, asana and pranayama, that you can quickly use just a few minutes and it works. And then you will be able to hear the mantra, hear the chanting, very clearly, and you will have a feeling that you are actually very focused and very much your energy and your spirit is in the name. You have nice feeling. It's a very nice feeling that brings you closer to the meditational stage on the holy name. So there are 8 steps in Ashtanga yoga. The first 4 are external. The second 4 are internal, withdrawing the senses from external distractions, focusing on your object of meditation, which for us is the holy name, Nama. And there is deeper meditation, Dhyana, and then Samadhi, complete absorption. So you will be able to focus more on the internal steps of yoga, of bhakti yoga, when you do the breathing and the asanas. And that is very, very useful, and I found that very effective. There is one devotee who wrote a nice book, The Rise of the Holy Name. His name is Isana Goradas. And once again, the name of the book is The Rise of the Holy Name by Isana Goradas. And in one of his commentaries, he mentioned that practicing bhakti yogis, it is very wise for them to use some of the techniques of pranayama while trying to keep the mind calm for the purpose of focusing on the holy name. So that is also recommended by Ayurveda. Ayurveda, the science of longevity, medical scriptures of Vedic scriptures, and yoga and Ayurveda are sister sciences, so they complement each other. Proper breathing, proper herbs, and proper exercises help you in deepening your meditation on the holy name. So these are some of the things that are helpful, and So we have Audarshinia, the Apathetic Devotional Service, and we have Jadya, or Inertia or Laziness, the third part of your of the Pramada offense, or negligence. Inattentiveness is Viksepa, or distraction. Simply, you may feel the energy, you may be enthusiastic, you have some taste, however, you may still be distracted. It seems like the distraction is partly due to the fact that you are apathetic and you you are you know, lazy in the mind, but also you may have some prior connection with your activities. Like I'll give you myself an example. When I was younger, I used to do a lot of exercise, too much exercise, and I used to run a lot for stress relief and other reasons. So I would run and you know, half marathons and a full marathon, and just running and running and running. So this is in my mind. That was like 10, 15 years ago, right? 20 years ago. However, this is some kind of conditioning that I exposed myself to, and I got conditioned. So even today I remember, and I am very attached to exercise. So what happened yesterday, I was trying to prepare for this class and finalize my comments or points, and I did some reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, and I did the right things that I'm supposed to do to hopefully give a good lecture, good class, and then what happened, I was on the computer, because I usually write it out, the points and stuff. And then there was an advertisement, okay, on the right-hand side. It says, you sign up for the Chicago Half Marathon. So I took a glimpse, whoa, this is the marathon. I used to run that 15, 20 years ago. And I was like, I'd like to sign up. I'd like to run again. These thoughts came to my mind. So I was distracted. I put it aside, though. And I completed my final points. I printed it out. I pronounced some yoga asanas, and and I put the Srimad Bhagavatam back on the shelf, and then I had a I fell asleep. There was no problem. But then in the morning, when I got up for chanting, my mind somehow remembered that I looked at the picture of the Chicago Marathon, Half Marathon, and I wanted to sign up for it, the register, Spots are filling up, so you don't want to miss out, you want to sign up. And I had not so much control over the mind. The mind was distracted. I was energized, I took a cold shower and, did some yoga. But somehow I was still distracted. And then the thoughts were building up, or sign up, or maybe you should buy new shoes. And then see how fast you can run, and maybe you're going to print out the schedule and put every day you're going to run 5 miles pace, and then the next day will be, fast running. Then you have a long run, 6 miles, 7 miles. So my mind was automatically planning for it, like it was on automatic pilot, partly due to my previous conditioning. See, if I didn't have that conditioning, I would probably neglect it or not be so disturbed, but because I did so much in my earlier years, it was easy for the mind to get disturbed and distracted. So even I had the energy, and I had the energy for chanting, I was somehow distracted. So this shows you how previous conditioning can get in the way of chanting. So I was fighting the mind, and I finished 16 rounds, but I wasn't not sure about the quality again. But that's what we're talking about here in this class. So hopefully you can also help out and give some helpful hints about how to focus the mind. So In conclusion, I'd like to say that yes, you know, the offense of pramada offense, negligence, is of three types, and then you can effectively diminish it by doing more association with devotees, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Tulsi Devi, and externally by doing some yoga asanas, which I will distribute in a minute, and by doing some pranayam breathing. And even though this helps, sometimes your mind still can get distracted, so do not be discouraged. You have to keep fighting the mind. Krishna recommends in chapter 6 and chapter 4 too that you should curb this restless mind by transcendental knowledge, and you should curb it by detachment and proper practice. So do not be discouraged. There are certainly many techniques that Ashtanga Yoga, traditional yoga, uses that we can also use and improve the quality of our chanting. Hopefully in the future I hope to give maybe a workshop on some of the yoga asanas and breathing techniques that help our bhakti yoga process, in, so we can chant more attentively. So I hope to present that maybe in the future, different body types and mental types, and what kind of breathing and exercise are good for them, so their chanting is remains focused. So I hope this was helpful, and if you have any questions, I'll be very happy to try to answer. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You made a lot of nice points. I'll try to pick out a few, and maybe you could expand on them. You were mentioning throughout your class different forms of yoga, exercise, and chanting. And one thing that came to mind related to this purport, I'll mention it later in a couple seconds, is that we see that the reason, like you were mentioning, the reason I exercise, one of the reasons I exercise is to become free from stress. And the reason we chant the holy names, become free from the moles, to become, whatever we do, we do it. The secondary reason is to become free from some miseries, and the primary reason is to gain some happiness. And in this purport, Prabhupada says the same thing. He says, let's see. Even at the present moment, everyone everywhere can be happy and free from material tribulations by following Srimad Bhagavatam. And the opposite of a free person is an enslaved person. And I kind of like to relate this to the point you were mentioning about sadhu sangha. Sometimes you said it may not be possible for us to always associate with devotee association all the time. And you said it's you basically essentially said it was a blessing to always associate with devotees all the time. Anything could be a blessing or a curse depending on association, because one thing I appreciate about not associating with devotees all the time is that when you're not associating with devotees all the time and you're beat up by the most material nature by yourself, right? Completely beat up, destroyed, then you come in a devotee association, you're that much grateful for devotees. Wow, everyone is much purer than me, more better than me. Let me take their association with gratitude. And the more you associate with devotees, you start finding faults generally. And then this argument. So I found that there has to be one healthy balance. And it seems like the pros of not associating with devotees all the time is that even though we may be beat up by the modes of material nature, we'll only find fault with ourselves. We won't commit Vaishnava parad.
Huh. Good point.
So in that sense, our Krishna consciousness won't go down. We may go down, but Krishna will always help us. But when we go in devotee association, then it's much worse when you argue with people, and then your conscience go down. Then you not only find so many faults. And so there's many stories related to this point. Maybe you could expand on them. I don't know, there's so many points, but basically, I'm not sure if you know the story of Moses from the Bible, sure. Where Moses, God told Moses, it's a long story, but Moses was adopted by the Egyptians, and then he found out later that he was really an Israelite. The Egyptians enslaved the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Then later on in his life, he found out, actually, I'm an Israelite, and so why am I mistreating the Israelites? So then God told him, you should free the Israelite people. And so then, long story short, he used his mystic, God gave him a staff to use some mystic powers to convince the Egyptians that please free the Israelites, otherwise there's going to be some negative power, some wrath from God, you know, if you don't.
Okay.
So long story short, Moses freed the Israelite slaves. And then he finally came to the Red Sea. And after the Egyptians freed the Israelite slaves, they was like, why did we do that? Because Moses showed his wrath of God towards the Egyptians, so then they finally released them. But then they arrogantly like, why are we releasing them? We can't build our empire. Let's go retrieve them. So then the Israelites were at the Red Sea. And then they saw the Egyptians coming to re-enslave them again. So Moses used his powerful staff to part the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they walked through the Red Sea onto the other side of the coast.
Right.
And then the Egyptians followed. Moses closed the Red Sea. He killed all the Egyptians. And you would think they would have complete faith in all circumstances that God is with them. However, when they went to the Promised Land, Moses told each army general of the Israelites, 12 of them, that when you go to the Promised Land, there are great, powerful warriors there. There are even giants. Or he didn't tell them this, but he actually told them to assess the Promised Land and come back with a report. So then he sent 12 members of the Israelite army to go assess the report of the Promised Land. Because God promised them this land, but he didn't promise them that there would be no obstacles.
Ah.
So when they went to the Promised Land, they assessed it. 12 of them all saw the same thing, but they didn't process the same thing.
Right.
So basically, they saw giants.
Mm-hmm.
They saw powerful warriors. They saw many obstacles. So the majority came back. 10 of them came back. It said, Moses, it's impossible. We see giants. We see so many obstacles. Why did God send us to this land? You know, it's impossible. And this creeped among the Israelites, among the thousands of them. They lost faith in the power of God, even though they saw Moses part the Red Sea. However, two of them came back, Joshua and Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua and Caleb came back and says, this is a piece of cake. There may be giants. There may be powerful warriors. But Almighty God is the supreme controller. And he has promised us this land. Let's go in immediately. But because of the majority infected the Israelites' slaves, they lost faith in the power of Moses, the power of his association and power of God. Mm-hmm. And you know what they said? They said, we should just go back to Egypt and be slaves.
Wow.
We're more happier. Let's kill Moses.
Wow.
Let's his own people who freed them. So my whole point of mentioning this story is that Moses, he freed the slaves. So although they were free on the outside, they weren't free on the inside. So when we associate with devotees, we even Prabhupada, many people, you know, even when we have the best association, one of my favorite quotes says, we may be at the right place at the right time with the right people.
Wow.
But if we have the wrong mentality, fear, envy, vengeance, then nothing can give us happiness. And then we completely, that's the difference between a free person and a slave. A slave is unhappy. So when we're enslaved by fear, enslaved by vengeance, enslaved by envy, it doesn't matter how good the association is, then you know, we'll leave the association. So my question is that maybe you could expand on some of these points of how can one make a healthy balance of associating with devotees and not associating with devotees? And what are some steps we can move forward to increase our gratitude and our proper methods of associating with devotees? I'm not sure if the question is clear. Maybe I could ask it better, but maybe you could expand on some of these points a little bit. Some points I always meditate on.
Thank you, Prabhu. You made a lot of good points there. So, well, I can just quickly say that it's mentioned in many places that to appreciate the association of the devotees, you should be careful to appreciate it and have the proper mentality and the mood. If you don't, you will not benefit. You may commit offenses, so it may actually backfire at one point. That's why it is very important to, just like with the holy name, you don't want to commit offenses when you chant. Similarly, when you associate with devotees, you want to be equally careful not to commit offenses to the devotees. So you just have to be very careful just when you chant. And a healthy balance of association. I can say that the best thing is to have as much association as you can have. Just maximize your association. However, if you're committing offenses, Krishna will check you, and then you will be maybe given some time out. You know, when you have children, you know, you associate with the parents, associate, and you break some rules here and there, and you make the parents upset, and then before you know, it's some parents use the rule of three. You know, I count to three. If you don't change your behavior, you'll be in a room for 5 or 10 minutes. 1, 2, 3. So those who are more intelligent children, they will stop the activity and try to play by the rules. But those who are very strong, stubborn, they will have to suffer the timeout. Timeout, go to the room and cry, whatever it takes, but they will be out for a little bit. So if we commit too many offenses and we don't appreciate the association of devotees, our association with the devotees will be checked. We will be removed from the association of devotees for the benefit, for our own benefit and from the benefit of the devotees. So we will be out somewhere. We get a little lesson from the three modes of nature and from Mother Nature. We get a little purgatory, you know, a little punishment, and then we'll be back again. Krishna will bring us back. He knows. He's the best coach, you know. He knows, okay, now you're ready for some association. Here's a CV, can appreciate it again. Okay, here's one. And then you take it from there, and then you build. Okay, now you have the proper attitude. You can increase your association more and more. It's unlimited. It's recommended. Once again, you have to be careful with the offenses as much with the devotees as to the holy name. You just have to be very careful. Very careful. And you know, you don't know who the devotee is. You know, sometimes you even outside, you may assume people are not devotees, but who knows? They may be devotees. That's why we should appreciate every person, whatever the external demeanor or appearances. You know, appearances are misleading. Sometimes it's a pretty, like a cliche, you know. Oh, appearances are misleading, you know. So yes, we should always appreciate everyone, especially the devotees, and make sure we don't get any time out from Krishna. On our side, we have to beat up those demons in the mind. Like, I think today is Lord Varaha's appearance day, I think today. So he beat up the demon Hiranyaksha. So we should also beat up our demons in the mind, and don't beat up other devotees, beat our own demons. And we have different tools. Krishna gave us a lot of tools to beat up our own demons, and we don't have to beat up anyone else. I hope this was helpful, Prabhu.
Gracias. I mean, I'm sorry. Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. In my country, we have a saying, is there's no more difficult task to do that one that we don't want to do.
Wow.
And when we are in that state of mind, it's because in reference to our devotion, it's because we're not fully surrendered.
Right.
Is my thing.
That is so true. And you mentioned that some weeks ago, that your level of chanting or your level of service to the devotees and your chanting, how you chant is directly in proportion to how surrendered you are. Isn't it? That's another way of checking where you're at with your chanting or offenses, like how surrendered you are. I mean, it's a great point, Prabhu, surrender. That's what Krishna recommends. The last instruction, surrender unto me. Surrender to the Guru, surrender to Krishna. Wow. Thanks so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your answers. One last quick point, and I definitely appreciate your last point of not beating up the devotees, because one of Jitendra's first experience when he came to the temple, somebody punched, I'm not going to mention, I don't know if I should, but somebody punched a devotee through the kitchen swinging doors, and that was his first experience coming to Hare Krishna.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to Hare Krishna temple. How may I serve you? No, thank you. I'm good. But my last point is regarding the opposite of associating with devotees, even associating with, let's say, a improper association. But if we have the right mentality, it just came to mind one other opposite story of the Moses story.
Mm.
Where Haridas Thakur, he was, of course, beat in 22 marketplaces.
Wow.
The Muslims beat him in 22 marketplaces. And he also went to prison, to jail.
Mm.
And the other devotees who were in jail with Haridas Thakur, they were happy to see him. But Haridas Thakur gave him an instruction that they weren't very happy about. He gave him a blessing that was a secret blessing. So when he was in prison with the other devotees, he says, "My dear devotees, may you remain as you are." How can you say that? In prison? Like, what is the purpose of this? So he told them that my secret blessing is that while you're in this difficulty, this most difficult situation, you're remembering Krishna the greatest. Whereas when you were outside of prison, you remember Krishna the least. So he gave the lesson that although you may be enslaved on the outside, because you're always remembering Krishna, you're free on the inside. So mm-hmm. I thought that's the most important lesson that we could take from Haridas's beating 22 marketplaces. But he always had love, respect for the people who were beating him.
Wow.
If people ignore us, if people are impatient with us, we blow it out of proportion. We make a big deal out of nothing. Mm. We're always complaining about devotees. You're taking too long. You know, you talk too much, etc. So many things. So the lesson, one of my favorite quotes regarding this lesson is that we may be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have the wrong mentality, ingratitude, impatience, so many negative qualities, then nothing can give us happiness. And I've never seen anybody who looked happy who's impatient with others, who
right.
complain about others. So
right.
this is the one lesson I always talk about. When we're out of the association of devotees, even be grateful for other people, because they give you opportunities to test whether or not you're actually developing these good qualities. So that's one lesson I always keep in mind. So thank
wow.
you, Hare Krishna.
Wow. You have a great point in case. Thank you, Prabhu. Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai.